Welcome back to hour number two of today's exciting Sunday. Wake you up from your Sunday slumber edition of Truth Jihad Radio, right here at We the People Radio Network. I'm going to be talking with another of my 9/11 Truth Movement heroes, well, heroine in this case, in this upcoming hour after that conversation with Peter Thottam. he's definitely a rabble-rouser after my own heart. Well, now we're talking to another great rabble-rouser and a friend, somebody I've gotten the chance to actually meet in person on several occasions. Stayed in the same house in Boston for the first Boston Tea Party for 9/11 Truth a year and a half ago. And saw her again there this year and elsewhere. It's Barbara Honegger. Barbara Honegger is a brave long-term truth teller. She's the author of October Surprise, detailing Bush the Elder's treasonous deal with the Iranians to keep U.S. hostages locked up in Iran until Bush Sr. and his ticket mate Ronald Reagan defeated Jimmy Carter in the 1980 presidential election. This is one of the most treasonous acts ever perpetrated by a high U.S. official, and Bush, of course, went on to be president and launched the phrase the New World Order on September 11th, 1991. I believe. Maybe it was 1990. I think it was 1991, though. Anyway, my guest, Barbara Honegger, is also the author of the Pentagon Attack Papers, one of the seminal studies of what may or may not have happened at the Pentagon on September 11, 2001. It's still a bit of a mystery, but it's something less of a mystery now than it was, thanks to Barbara Honegger. We now know that it was certainly not a hijacked passenger airliner crashing into that building that was the full story of that attack. In fact, there are very deep questions about whether any passenger airliner at all even hit the building, and we do know that there was a huge explosion there several minutes before the alleged impact of the alleged airliner, thanks to Barbara Honegger's The Pentagon Attack Papers. And she has just written a terrific new article called The Scarlet A, Links Between the Anthrax Attacks and 9/11, which will be published in the upcoming September edition of the Rock Creek Free Press. Barbara Honegger is the senior journalist at the Naval Postgraduate Institute, I believe, in Monterey, California. She'll correct me if I got that name a little bit wrong. I don't have my notes here. And she is one of the key voices for 9/11 Truth. So, hey, it's an honor to welcome Barbara Honegger. How are you, Barbara?
Hi, Kevin. Can you hear me?
Hey, sure can. Good to hear you.
Couple of corrections there.
I'm sorry. I don't have any notes in front of me.
We'll start right out of the box, right? I don't know if my paper, The Scarlet A, is going to be in the September issue. It certainly will probably be in the October issue, because I submitted it 2 days after the deadline. He's trying, but it's not clear if it'll get in the next week.
Okay. Well, it's always good to plug the Rock Creek Free Press.
Oh, absolutely. It's the most important newspaper in the country, I think, because It's the truth independent paper in the nation's capital, and it's hand-delivered, as I understand it, to about 25 metro stops, as well as in newspaper stands around Washington, D.C., including the Pentagon metro stop. So that makes it very, very important.
Well, that's right. So, Barbara, your Pentagon Attack Papers is, as I said, one of the seminal studies of 9/11. And your article, The Scarlet A, is another terrific contribution to the truth movement. You want to go ahead and just tell us its thesis?
Yes. What I'd love to do is actually read it on the air. It's not very long, if you'd let me.
Okay.
But let me summarize it in a nutshell, okay? The bottom line is that the official story of 9/11 and the anthrax attacks are that the so-called first, and I put that in quotes because we're not sure if it was the first, but the official story first anthrax attack, which was on Bob Stevens down in Florida at American Media, Inc., didn't happen until about a week after 9/11, and therefore couldn't have been directly linked to the attack. However, there's a lot of evidence that that is, in fact, not true, and that anthrax was intimately involved with the scenario for a biochem terrorism attack exercise that the official story says was to begin the day after 9/11 in New York City, run by Giuliani and company. But in fact, the critical personnel for that biochem terrorism exercise were actually in place in New York City the day before 9/11, and the personnel from Giuliani's Office of Emergency Management were moved to the pier, which was a command and control and communication center for the Tripod 2 bio exercise, on 9/11, so that they were conveniently out of their World Trade Center's 23rd floor offices when the building collapsed by pre-placed explosives later that day. So that's just the tip of the iceberg, but, you know, I'd really like to read this on the air because I spent a lot of time packing information into it, if you'd let me do that.
Yeah, that's probably, you probably could. I don't know if you'll finish before the break. Is that okay if it comes in two pieces?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Go for
because
it.
I think everybody needs to have the knowledge base of the paper in order to ask questions. I don't know if you do you have callers into the program?
Well, we might, yeah. You know, I don't have my notes in front of me, but anybody who's listening now through WTPRN.com can simply look at that website, and you'll see the call-in number, which escapes my brain right now, and they can you can always call in and ask questions of Barbara Honegger. But, Barbara, you said you're going to go ahead and read the article first.
Yeah, it's not long, and I would like to read it, and if the break comes, then we'll just continue after the break, and then Well, all of your listeners and you and I will have the same information base to discuss.
Okay,
next,
sounds good.
Okay, it's called The Scarlet A, and that's a takeoff, of course, on the famous book called The Scarlet Letter, which, of course, was about a priest, a minister.
That was A for adultery.
It was A for adultery in that
case. That was a Bill Clinton kind of impeachable,
really?
As opposed to a W. Bush.
Very, very famous story about a priest who was, railing against adultery by the members of his congregation, and in fact was committing adultery at the same time. And the A stood in that case for adultery, and it was on his chest. At the end, it was revealed that he in fact had committed adultery himself and was an absolute hypocrite. So in any case, I've titled this paper after the Scarlet Letter, and it's called The Scarlet A, in this case stands for anthrax. The Scarlet A links between the anthrax attacks and September 11th. And I would just like to go on record before I read this that though I work for the Naval Postgraduate School, it has absolutely nothing to do with my work on 9/11, which is totally independent. I do that entirely as a private citizen. I just
obligatory disclaimer.
Obligatory disclaimer, but it's very important. Okay, proceeding with the article. With the government's claim that Bruce Ivins, the biowarfare scientist at the Army's Fort Detrick Biolab, is behind the anthrax attack, whether true or not, the Bush administration has now officially acknowledged that the attacks were not perpetrated by al-Qaeda or by Iraq, but were in fact their own false flag inside job. We know from the evidence compiled by our 9/11 Truth Movement that the 9/11 attacks were also a false flag inside job. Indeed, the FBI itself has said that al-Qaeda didn't do it. Both Director Mueller and the FBI's top investigative spokesman, Rex Toombe, have stated publicly for the record that, quote, there is no hard evidence, unquote, linking bin Laden, and that's, of course, al-Qaeda, to 9/11. And bin Laden has never been wanted for 9/11 on the FBI's own most wanted terrorist online webpage. As both the anthrax attacks and 9/11 were inside jobs, now admitted by the Bush administration itself for the anthrax attacks, any evidence directly linking the anthrax attacks to 9/11 would be an effective official admission by the administration that 9/11 itself was also an inside job. And if there is evidence linking anthrax to 9/11, we can reasonably infer that the Bush administration / military individuals who planned and perpetrated the anthrax attacks were almost certainly also those who planned and perpetrated September 11th itself. The handwritten date on the letters mailed with the anthrax is indeed September 11th, 2001. Though the official story is that the, quote, first, unquote, anthrax attack on Florida photojournalist Bob Stevens, from which he died, was not mailed until at least a week after September 11th, though the FBI claims that letter, by the way, has never been found, and therefore that the anthrax is not directly linked to 9/11, that's the official story, it is nevertheless clear that the date on the letters, from the date on the letters, that whoever wrote and mailed them and added the super weaponized military-grade anthrax wants you to believe there is a direct connection. So, is there, in fact, evidence that there is a direct connection between anthrax and 9/11 itself? Yes, there is. And now I compile that evidence. The day before 9/11, on September 10th, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld himself announced that Project Jefferson, a secret and illegal U.S. government offensive bioweapon program, begun in 1999, I should note that was under Clinton, had achieved success, I put that in quotes, in creating hyperweapon-grade anthrax. Indeed, in early September 2001, a classified dispersal test of the Project Jefferson anthrax had been run in the Nevada desert. Two, Mayor Giuliani's New York City Office of Emergency Management, known as the OEM, had a pre-planned biochemical terrorism emergency response exercise called Tripod 2, scheduled, he testified to the 9/11 Commission, to begin the day after 9/11, September 12th. But the special personnel, including from FEMA, the National Guard, etc., who were to take part in that exercise, were already in place in New York City on September 10th, the day before 9/11. And an Office of Emergency Management personnel had been cleared out of their office space on the 23rd floor of World Trade Center 7 on 9/11 itself and moved to none other than the Command and Control and Communications Center for the Tripod 2 Biochem Terrorism Emergency Response Exercise on a New York pier. Conveniently, they were out of the building that was then brought down by controlled demolition on 9/11 using pre-placed charges later that day. That is World Trade Center 7. An Army base just across the water from New York City, New Jersey's Fort Monmouth, was also holding a exercise on the morning of 9/11 called Timely Alert 2. Notice Tripod 2, Timely Alert 2. Further evidence that, in fact, Tripod 2 was scheduled to begin on 9/11 itself. These were linked exercises. Three, Jerome Hauer, known as Jerry Hauer, a biowarfare expert and one of the signers of the pre-9/11 Project for New American Century Manifesto calling for a new Pearl Harbor, like 9/11, who had been director of Mayor Giuliani's Office of Emergency Management, conveniently moved to the pier on 9/11 just before its offices were destroyed in World Trade Center 7 by pre-placed demolition charges, had been a central player in creating the biochemical attack script scenario for Tripod 2. And as you'll see here in a moment, Tripod 2 almost certainly involved an anthrax attack scenario. Hauer became a national security advisor to the National Institutes of Health beginning the day before 9/11 on September 10th, the very day Tripod 2 personnel began amassing in New York City for the exercise, from which new NIH post he managed the Bush administration's response, and I put that in quotes, to the imminent anthrax attacks and the initial cover-up of the true anthrax murderers. Hauer also zealously pushed the, quote, Bin Laden did it and planes brought down the towers, unquote, official storyline on CBS News with Dan Rather on September 11th itself in the immediate aftermath of the attacks before anyone could have reasonably or possibly determined the actual cause of the collapses. In fact, taking pains to state that explosives were not involved when indeed they were. And according to numerous reports in the mainstream press, in October 2001, Hauer personally advised White House officials, including especially Cheney's staff, to take anti-anthrax Cipro on September 11th itself. So, did Hauer recommend that the White House be put on anti-anthrax antibiotics on 9/11 because he had reason to believe that 9/11 would also involve an anthrax attack? And or because he had advanced knowledge there would be an actual anthrax attack just 1 week later in Florida against Bob Stevens? Indeed, it was Hauer. Also, it turns out, an expert, you're going to love this, in the response to building collapses. And we learned that none other than the New York Times. Hauer, a expert in the response to building collapses, insisted, despite the 1993 terrorist attack on World Trade Center 1, that Mayor Giuliani should still locate his Office of Emergency Management in World Trade Center 7, from which a response to another terrorist attack would have to be orchestrated and which collapsed on 9/11 from pre-placed controlled demolition charges. WT-7 was next door to WTC-1, which had already been attacked in 1993. Why would Hauer insist that the Office of Emergency Management still be placed there? The OEM opened on the 23rd floor of World Trade Center 7 in June 1999, where Haller, its director, had his office. Haller was also managing director of Kroll Associates before and on September 11th, the company that provided security, and I put that in quotes, for the World Trade Center complex, including all three buildings brought down by pre-placed controlled demolition charges that morning. And he thus, and his company, had complete access to pre-place the explosive charges that he adamantly then insisted on ABC News, on 9/11, were not involved in any way. So, is it possible that the 9/11 era period, Tripod 2, biochem terrorism attack exercise scenario itself involved anthrax? That is, not actual anthrax, but an anthrax scenario.
Is it possible? Well, we're going to have to come back and find out why that's possible after the break.
All right, thanks.
All right, this is Kevin Barrett. I'm talking to Barbara Honegger. She's the author of the paper she's reading right now, The Scarlet A, Links Between the Anthrax Attacks and 9/11. We'll pick that up when we come back after the break, so stay tuned.
Cascadia Public Radio.
Truth Jihad Radio Show right here on We the People Radio Network. I'm Kevin Barrett, and speaking of come together, I think it's not that hard to make the anthrax attacks and 9/11 come together, because they did come together. The anthrax attacks came right after 9/11. The letters were dated 9/11/01, and there's all sorts of other evidence suggesting that whoever did one did the other. The government now admits the anthrax was false flag, inside job, military stuff. And does that mean they're also implicitly admitting the same about 9/11? Well, we're hearing that from Barbara Honegger. And Barbara, you're in the middle of reading your brand new paper, The Scarlet A, Links Between the Anthrax Attacks and 9/11. And I guess where we left off was you're asking whether it's possible that the 9/11 period Tripod 2 biochem terrorism attack exercise scenario, which was scheduled for September 12, 2001, and brought all of FEMA into New York on September 10, 2001. Is it possible that that Tripod 2 exercise involved anthrax? And you're answering that yes, it is. Then go ahead and pick up your reading.
Yes, that's absolutely right, Kevin. And for anyone who just came into the program, didn't hear the first part, I have just before the break listed some of the evidence that leads me to believe that, in fact, Tripod 2, a biochem terrorism emergency response exercise in New York City, was in fact scheduled to start on 9/11 itself. I believe the administration's lying that it was supposed to start on 9/12. In any case, continuing to read this, so I asked, yes, is it possible that Tripod 2 actually involves an anthrax scenario? And the answer is yes. And now I'm going to compile that evidence for you. Number one, on September 11th itself, Jeanette McKinley lived in a fourth-floor apartment overlooking what was soon to become the World Trade Center pit after the attack. Her neighbor, and by the way, Jeanette McKinley is a very active member of the 9/11 Truth Movement. She's wonderful, puts on lots of events in Oakland and around the country, and is a great asset to the movement. Jeanette McKinley's neighbor and close friend, Bruno, who, by the way, is mentioned in her booklet about her experience on 9/11 that she's published, told her that he was pulled into a bank lobby off the street next to the World Trade Center towers on the morning of 9/11 by an FBI agent to protect them both from the dust cloud that was then coming down the street from a collapsing tower, and that he, Bruno, was told by the FBI agent in the bank lobby that morning as the cloud was coming down the street that, quote, "We were told this was going to happen and that it would involve anthrax," close quote. this out of the mouth of an FBI agent. He knew he was an FBI agent because he had the huge gold FBI letters on his jacket. Another FBI agent told a woman about to enter the NBC building in New York City that morning that she should immediately leave because, quote, there are explosives in this building as well as in the World Trade Center, close quote. That was before the building came down. And the NBC building did not have explosives that we know of, but it still shows what the FBI agent was told and believed in advance. The FBI clearly was pre-alerted because their own offices were in World Trade Center 7, which was pre-wired, obviously, for controlled demolition takedowns later that day. McKinley had the presence of mind to collect dust from the cloud that poured into her fourth-floor apartment next to the World Trade Center, and it is indeed this dust that physicist Stephen Jones has now analyzed and in which he has found proof of military-grade thermite as well in his most recent paper just 2 days ago, as well as other high explosives, proving the presence of controlled demolition charges throughout the towers that morning, to which Al-Qaeda, of course, could not have had the extensive access to pre-play. So no anthrax has been reported in the dust, though it may not have yet been tested for it. If Tripod 2, the emergency response exercise, were at least in part on an anthrax attack scenario, that exercise would not have used actual anthrax in any case, but an anthrax stimulant. What do I mean by a stimulant? A stimulant would be an anthrax-like powder of a similar weight, consistency, color, etc., that would disperse through the air in a way similar to the real thing, so that they would test how it dispersed. Experts should be consulted for the chemical composition of known anthrax stimulants and the dust from the World Trade Center collapses collected by Jeanette McKinley and others, tested by physicist Stephen Jones for these anthrax stimulants. Now, I want to mention here something that I didn't include in the version of the paper, the Scarlet A, that I sent to you, Kevin, but I've added since today. It's very important, and that is that it turns out that whoever wrote the scenario for the Tripod 2 biochem terrorism emergency response exercise for which special personnel had arrived in New York City the day before 9/11, whoever wrote that script for that exercise already had in mind the link between attacks on the World Trade Center and biochem weapons. And the reason for that is, believe it or not, in the book Germs, G-E-R-M-S, by the respected New York Times science writer William Broad, unfortunately he wrote the book in conjunction with Judith Miller, but William Broad's reputation is nevertheless completely intact. The two of them wrote a book called Germs. It was published, I believe it was near 2000. And in that book, I believe it's page 5, you learn the claim that the first attack on the World Trade Center in 1993, that the plan for that, for which Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the alleged mastermind of 9/11 itself, his nephew, Ramzi Youssef, is in prison for life for the 93 World Trade Center 1 attack, that plan for the 1993 attack on World Trade Center 1, in fact, involved cyanide. Now, presumably the cyanide was not actually used, something happened, something wrong, but it's important that the script writers for Tripod 2 would have had that in mind, that they would automatically expect a second attack on the towers to be kind of a biochem attack scenario. All right, so moving on in the paper. According to mainstream press reports on Bruce Ivan's alleged involvement in the anthrax letter attack, the anthrax in the mailed letters, but not also the first anthrax allegedly mailed to Florida photojournalist Bob Stevens, has been traced back to a flask in Ivan's laboratory. Now, that's a very important fact. In fact, the FBI claims that no letter has been found in connection with the anthrax, the so-called first anthrax found on Stephen's computer, though the FBI says that they assume that there was such a letter and that they just haven't found it. The Stephen's Florida anthrax is therefore critical, both to proving that Ivan's, if he was involved at all, did not act alone, as the Florida anthrax does not trace back to his lab and the flask in his lab, and because it's the first known anthrax, the one in Florida, and therefore closest in time to 9/11, and therefore most likely to be directly linked to 9/11. Now, contrary to the FBI's claim, anthrax was in fact found throughout the American media building in Florida. And for those who don't know, American Media is the company that publishes the newspaper rags that are found in supermarkets around the country, like National Enquirer and The Sun. And, in fact, Bob Stevens was a photojournalist for The Sun. I have personally interviewed American Media workers whose desks were right next to Stevens in that very building. The building was condemned by the FBI, and the FBI, who, remember, were told that 911 was coming and that it would involve anthrax, told the publisher, Comedia, that they, not the U.S. taxpayers, would have to clean up the building, which was a huge expense. As a result of that, according to the New York Times, and this is an explosive fact, this same American Media building, the first anthrax attack crime scene with all of its evidence still in place, was then bought by none other than New York Mayor former and former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
Wow. That means Giuliani took over the crime scene.
He took over the crime scene. He controlled the evidence. He destroyed the evidence. He also made these orders. The evidence at the crime scene at the World Trade Center to be eliminated, which was steel that had proof of the...
Obstruction of justice. We'll be back in a moment. This is Kevin.
Online and on demand, this is We the People Radio Network.
Welcome back to Truth Jihad Radio. This is Kevin Barrett. I'm talking with Barbara Honegger. She's at the Naval Postgraduate Institute in Monterey, California. Although her 9/11 truth work is totally unconnected to that august institution. And right now, she is reading from her brand new paper, The Scarlet A, Links Between the Anthrax Attacks and 9/11. It should be in the Rock Creek Free Press sometime this fall, September or October. And I will be featuring it on my website, barrettforcongress.us. It should be up by tomorrow morning, hopefully, if not before that. So, Barbara, you were just saying that this tabloid building in Florida, American Media, contaminated with anthrax, was condemned and picked up at anthrax sale prices. That's better than fire sale prices by none other than Rudy Giuliani.
None other than Rudy Giuliani himself, right after he stopped being mayor of New York City, if you can imagine. So Rudy Giuliani, whom we already know, gave the order, at least approved the destruction of evidence, the massive destruction of evidence at the crime scene of the World Trade Center pit by ordering all that steel with proof of thermite and controlled demolition explosives carted away to China. He also bought up the crime scene of the first anthrax attack down in Florida, which the FBI had condemned, put a big, yellow tape around, do not cross tape. And what's fascinating is that Giuliani, according to the New York Times, by the way, these are not your alternative press outlets. The New York Times had this incredible article that Giuliani bought the building. And another New York Times article, when Giuliani was still in the running for the presidential nomination for the Republican Party coming up in November, the New York Times ran a huge front-page article that contained the amazing revelation that I learned for the first time there, that the Giuliani's first full partner in Giuliani Partners was a decontamination expert. Now, we can infer that this was an anthrax decontamination expert because he became partners with this guy, and then they bought the building, American Media, which was the crime scene of first anthrax attack. It controlled and, of course, destroyed all that evidence. That's just an incredibly important fact. And, by the way, I did put this out as widely as I could on the Internet. I made this dot connecting, and it wasn't long after that when Giuliani just suddenly pulled out of the race. Now, I don't know if there's a connection, but I don't think there's a disconnection, if you know what I mean.
Well, between you and We Are Change dogging him everywhere he went, and asking him how he knew the towers were coming down before they
did.
I think he had a lot to contend with.
Yeah. In other words, how did he know the towers were coming down before they did? How come he got all of his people out of his own emergency management office in World Trade Center 7 before it came down? And how come he ordered the destruction of evidence at the World Trade Center site and bought up the crime scene of the first anthrax attack? I mean, that pretty much points a huge anthrax-covered finger at Rudy Giuliani, doesn't it?
It sure does. His fingerprints are all over it. And, you know, when he bought up that building, I've heard of scrubbing crime scenes, but they must have scrubbed that particular crime scene with disinfectant.
Yeah, I frankly still need to find out if the building was destroyed, if it was destroyed, or if they cleaned it and used it. The New York Times article on page 18, about three or four paragraphs, about fell off the chair when I read it, said that he was purchasing it for his headquarters of Giuliani Partners. So whether that actually happened or whether the building was ended up being destroyed because it was a crime scene of first anthrax attack, I don't know. I still need to find out.
Giuliani Partners is definitely a toxic operation anyway. They don't need to buy an anthrax-filled building to add to that.
Right, and people should remember that none other than Rudolph Giuliani was actually supposed to be at the hotel right next to one of the metro stops for the July 7th so-called terrorist attack in London as well, and somebody, it was the Mossad, alerted him in advance not to go there. So Mr. Giuliani is, critically, and as we know, the July 7th attacks were on the scenario of a so-called exercise that was supposed to happen on the precise same scenario in London that morning, about 45 minutes later. So Mr. Giuliani has been associated with both the World Trade Center 9/11 attacks, planning with the anthrax exercise Tripod 2, that I think the evidence shows was supposed to come down on 9/11 itself, and also with the July 7th attacks in London. Mr. Giuliani's fingerprints are on all of these three attacks.
Well,
okay,
put him on the wanted list. Osama bin Laden is no longer, he's never been actually on the wanted list.
That's right, you're right.
Maybe it's time to put Giuliani up there instead.
You're right. Instead of bin Laden has never been on the FBI's own webpage of most wanted terrorists for 9/11. He's never been wanted for 9/11 on that webpage. Maybe we should put Mr. Giuliani up there. Okay, let me just finish reading my article because we're getting to some of the main culprits here besides Rudy Giuliani. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So there have also been reports that prior to 9/11, official story lead hijacker Mohammed Atta was treated in Florida for what could well have been anthrax, and that Atta even had an apartment in Boca Raton, Florida, where American Media Inc. was located, and even that there was a landlord-tenant relationship between Atta and either an employee of American Media or a spouse of an employee of American Media Inc. So there are definite connections between anthrax and 9/11 itself. A reasonable case can therefore be made that there is, in fact, a direct link between September 11th and at least the so-called first anthrax attack in Florida, that Giuliani is complicit in both, which is why he bought and therefore controlled the FBI-sealed Florida anthrax crime scene, as well as ordering the destruction of evidence at the New York City 9/11 crime scene at the World Trade Center as well, that Giuliani's close friend and colleague, Jerome Hauer, the former head of Giuliani's Office of Emergency Management, who became a national security advisor to the NIH the day before 9/11, just as Tripod 2 biochem terrorism scenario exercise personnel were arriving in New York City for a probable anthrax scenario exercise, that Howard advised or even personally took anti-anthrax Cipro to Cheney and his White House staff on 9/11. And why? One can infer if this was because they were afraid that the anthrax attack exercise scenario might well, quote, go live, unquote, just as both NORAD's hijacked plane exercise scenario and the National Reconnaissance Office plane crashing into tower exercise scenario had already just gone live earlier on the morning of September 11th, as their so-called game scenarios had suddenly turned horribly real. In other words, the main scenario for the NORAD and NRO exercises were hijacked planes crashing into towers. They had already just gone live. Therefore, Tripod 2, being on an anthrax scenario, they were scared to death. It was about to go live, too. And as a precaution, they put the White House, nobody else, on Cipro that we know of on the morning of 9/11 itself. And Cipro is an anti-anthrax antibiotic. If the Florida anthrax does not trace back to Bruce Ivan's Fort Detrick flask, and Ivan, who worked on anthrax vaccines, which is biodefense and not on its weaponization, biooffense, was not behind the attacks, and neither was Stephen Hatfill, whom the FBI paid close to $5 million to settle his case for publicly naming him as a person of interest recently, then who was behind the anthrax attack? Now, I'm going to end here by giving you my best candidates besides Rudolph Giuliani, in addition to Rudolph Giuliani, for who is behind this scenario. Battelle, that's B-A-T-T-E-L-L-E, Memorial Institute, a biodefense contractor located in West Jefferson, Ohio, has exclusive control over the AIM strain contained in the mailed anthrax letters. I give this site for that. And in partnership with the CIA and the Defense Intelligence Agency, ran Project Jefferson, also known as Operation Jefferson, which was the government covert and illegal offensive bioweapons program whose goal was to develop a hyper-weaponized form of the anthrax AIM strain found in the anthrax letters. And as I mentioned before, Donald Rumsfeld himself, Secretary of Defense, announced the day before 9/11 that Project Jefferson had been a roaring success.
Well, that's amazing. So Rumsfeld, the day before 9/11, not only announced that $2.3 trillion was missing from the military budget, but he also announced that this hyper-weaponized anthrax test had been a success.
Correct. And they're probably late. Where did that money go? Well, it probably went to a massive Manhattan-like project on bioweapons. Okay.
It's pretty unbelievable, but, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. We are going into another break, and we'll be back in a moment. I'm Kevin Barrett talking with Barbara Honegger. She's the author of The Pentagon Attack Papers, a seminal study of what might have happened at the Pentagon on 9/11, and also The Scarlet A, links between the anthrax attacks and 9/11. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Truth Jihad Radio, right here on We the People Radio Network. I'm Kevin Barrett. This hour I'm talking with Barbara Honegger. She's written a brand new article called The Scarlet A, Links Between the Anthrax Attacks and 9/11. And you're hearing it here first, unless you happen to be on Barbara's very exclusive email list. You'll be able to read it by hopefully tonight or probably tomorrow for sure at my website, barrettforcongress.us. And Barbara, you were just getting to the part of the paper where you're naming some other suspects besides Rudy Giuliani.
Yes, and I know we're getting close to the end of the show, so I'm going to go through this very quickly. We had just before the break, we had mentioned that Battelle Memorial Institute has exclusive control of the AIM strain found in the anthrax letters, and that Project Jefferson was actually a covert illegal operation centered at Battelle. That Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld announced the day before 9/11 that their anthrax weaponization project had been a roaring success. So who at Battelle in particular are the most likely suspects? My number one suspect is a man by the name of William Patrick, P-A-T-R-I-C-K. He is a former top scientist at Fort Detrick and a close colleague of former Giuliani OEM director Jerry Hauer. We've talked about Hauer earlier. And was the mentor of the initial FBI person of interest in the attack, Stephen Hatfill. Now, what's important about William Patrick is that according to mainstream press, he personally, not on behalf of the government, but personally, holds 5 classified patents and trade secrets on the weaponization of anthrax, including, and this is what is critical, one that produces precisely the 1 trillion spores per gram contained in the actual anthrax letters mailed to Leahy and Daschle, which was effectively a Reichstag fire attack on Congress. And notice, not on any Republicans, only on the top Democrats who were trying to block the railroading through the Patriot Act at the time, which is like Hitler's Enabling Act. It came on the justification of the Reichstag fire, which the Nazis themselves perpetrated. After leaving Fort Detrick, William Patrick was contracted by Battelle to research and write a special report on how the U.S. mails could be used as the vector for targeting the hyper-weaponized milled spores of anthrax AIM strain produced by Project Jefferson. In early September 2001, the super-weaponized AIM strain was actually tested in the Nevada desert, and as I mentioned, the day before 9/11, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld announced the success of Battelle's anthrax weaponization program, Project Jefferson. Patrick worked at Battelle Memorial Institute with his close friend and colleague of years, former Soviet bioweapons expert Ken Allebeck. And it's important to note that Battelle also ran Project Clear Vision, which was a secret program to reverse engineer the dry-powdered anthrax bombs that had been produced by the former Soviet Union, which Allebeck knew all about with Patrick. But the initial FBI investigative team was, of course, taken off the case right after the first team's main suspects were Patrick and Allebeck, and a new team headed by a man by the name of Richard Lambert took over for the FBI, refocusing attention on the intentional diversions of Stephen Hatfield and Bruce Ivins. Director Mueller himself assured a U.S. senator that the FBI, quote, was not investigating nor intending to investigate anyone with or formally associated with Battelle Memorial Institute, that is, with Project Jefferson, for obvious reasons. Now, Battelle has contractual relationships with both Bioport and Scientific Applications International Corporation, known as SAIC, which also... exactly, another major suspect in 9/11 itself, which also directs, that is, Battelle, with Bioport and SAIC, directs the anthrax experimentation program at the U.S. military's Dugway Proving Grounds in Utah, which is the second home, in addition to Fort Detrick, of the original AIM strain of the anthrax contained in the latter. Now, another top candidate is a man by the name of Thomas Monath, M-O-N-A-T-H, former head of Fort Detrick's Virology Division and the chief scientist and vice president of BioVax, which has since been renamed, the Symbus. A friend of Stephen Hatfield, he was introduced to Mayor Rudy Giuliani by none other than Jerry Hauer. Project Jefferson, in fact, began at a 1998 meeting attended by William Patrick, Jerry Hauer, Thomas Monath, and then Secretary of Defense William Cohen, who I note was then President Clinton's Republican Secretary of Defense. Yet another top candidate for the team behind the anthrax letter attacks is Battelle's former chief scientist for special programs, Dr. Barry Ehrlich, who also served as chief scientist for both biological and chemical warfare at the Defense Intelligence Agency, a Battelle partner in Project Jefferson until shortly before 9/11. Then it's important to note that in the summer of 2001, leading up to 9/11, and on September 10th, the day before 9/11, top U.S. military and military contract biodefense experts held a series of terror response planning meetings and exercises, many of them in a town, Johnson, Pennsylvania, very close to Shanksville, which was the site of the so-called crash of one of the four 9/11 planes. But, of course, we know that it did not crash there, but that's the official story. Now, I'm going to move on and just close with mentioning a critical, critical fact. And that is, and this was not in my original paper that was sent to you, but it will be in the one you're going to be posting tonight or tomorrow morning on your website, Kevin. And that is, after writing the first draft of the paper, I had a light bulb, and it's a very critical light bulb, a realization. And that is that, if you recall, the most critical document in the so-called in the illegal warrantless wiretap program that we have learned about, but that the Bush administration, the White House, and the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, is still to this moment refusing to turn over to Congress, despite 2 years of demanding it, is dated October 23rd, 2001. This is right in the middle of the anthrax attack scare, which we know that the administration did itself, like the Reichstag fire attack by Hitler. And it was during that anthrax scare that, according to the administration itself, the Attorney General has acknowledged that on October 23rd, 2001, Bush allegedly signed the so-called first, and I put that in quotes, authorization for the warrantless domestic wiretap program, against U.S. citizens in this country that is still ongoing and was just legitimized horrendously by the FISA Reform Act just about a month ago. And what's important about that is that it's clear that the administration orchestrated, engineered the anthrax attacks to justify the warrantless wiretap program against U.S. citizens in this country. And we do know from a slipped footnote in another report that that so-called October 23rd, 201 authorization by Bush, presumably with his signature, we've got to get that document public, actually claimed it was a legal opinion by the Office of Legal Counsel and the Department of Justice, or based upon that. It actually claimed that the Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable searches and seizures against United States citizens do not, purportedly do not apply to U.S. military operations in the mainland United States. This is a critical, critical document, and it's directly linked to the false flag inside job anthrax attacks. We have got to get that document released.
Okay, well, let's go after it. This is a tough, Barbara. Do you think this anthrax information, which all of this information that's come out in, you know, with the alleged, you know, the suiciding of Bruce Ivins, and everything that's come out since then, the admission by the government that anthrax was a false flag inside job trying to blame Arabs and Muslims in the wake of 9/11 by a U.S. government scientist. They say it was Ivins. Well, yeah, right. But at least they're admitting it's a false flag inside job. You think all of this could blow the whole 9/11 issue wide open
I agree with Barry Kissin, who was on Jim Fetzer's program last Wednesday. And by the way, anybody who has not heard that program must listen to it.
Well, that's still available free. You can hear it free for another couple of days at the GCN podcast archives. And you can
I tried to do that, and I was not able to, but Jim Fetzer does. Well, I tried, and it wasn't, just for the record. But Jim Fetzer told me that it is archived at his site, www.911scholars.org. Click on events and scroll down to Wednesday, August 13th, and click on that, and you'll be able to hear Barry Kissin's program of last Wednesday, of 2 hours.
Now, who is Barry Kissin?
This program, that program and this program go together like a hand in a glove.
Okay, and who is Barry Kissin?
Barry Kissin is a very important person. He is an attorney who happens to live in Frederick, Maryland, which is where Fort Detrick happens to reside. So, and he is one of us. He's one of the good guys who is an independent truth seeker and investigator, and who has become a kind of a self-appointed gumshoe in the anthrax case. He knows more. He has got more personal interviews with people on the inside of Fort Detrick. He goes to all the meetings. And you've got to listen to that program as well as this one and put the two together.
Okay, well, I'll try and pick that up. People can find that by going to my website, garrettforcongress.us, and then click on the radio show's link, and that will take you to the GCN podcast archives, where the last Wednesday show would bring you up with Barry Kissin. Well, hey, Barbara Honegger, it's been great, as always, having you on. Thank you for the terrific work you're doing. Let's hope this one is the final shot that blows it wide open.
Yeah, and one last comment, and that is, my understanding is you can't listen to the archives unless you're a member of CCN, but it is...
Okay, well, one way or another, you can listen to it, but I think we're at the end, so see you all
very
next
good.
Week and take care of our Bye-bye.
Very good. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. See you all next week.